coming to a close in our follower series. It's going to culminate on Easter Sunday, just next Sunday. And from basically Christmas until Easter, we've been looking at the life of Christ, the life of Christ of his biography, but also the life of Christ in us, asking the question, how can we be the followers of Jesus that we want to be and that God wants us to be? So we've looked at all different things on this journey, and now we're getting our hearts ready for Easter. That's the goal of what we're doing. Matthew chapter 26 is where we're going to be, if you'll turn there in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 is where we'll start. And all of our campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown Espanol, all over the city of Houston, our radio ministry, internet, wherever you're watching from, man, welcome and join in with us as we journey together, getting our hearts ready for Easter. Matthew 26 is preparation, for Matthew 27 is the cross, and Matthew 28 is the resurrection. So we're following right along in it. Not that we won't hit all of those exact verses as we talk about them, but today we're preparing in Matthew chapter 26, looking at what we'll look at to prepare our hearts. Then Matthew 27, when we do Broken for You on Thursday, and so all of our campus is doing a Broken for You. Sienna, you're going to join us here at the Loop. Downtown, Espanol, Cypress, you're going to have your own Broken for You on Thursday. And it's going to be an awesome time to talk about the cross. I'm going to be with the downtown campus at the beginning of Broken for You, and then come to the Loop campus for the end of Broken for You, and just kind of jump in a car and come over here during that time. But Matthew 26, we're preparing our heart for Matthew 27, talking about the cross. And that's what Broken for You is. And while I'm talking about Broken for You, just to add one other thing, is this. I want us to fast on this Thursday coming up so that the first thing that goes into our mouth as a church is the Lord's Supper when we take it together. That'd be the first morsel. So if you'll look at your schedule and if you can think about fasting on Thursday of this week so that you'll be ready for the Lord's Supper and we'll all just come together having prayed and fasted together, asking God to do great things, and then we'll take that Lord's Supper together. It'd be the first time that we break our fast with just that little morsel of the Lord's Supper. So Matthew 26 today, 27 on Thursday, Broken for You, and then Matthew 28 to be declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how Matthew moves. Not that we'll hit all those scriptures on that, but that's how Matthew moves. So we're in Matthew 26, learning to be followers of Jesus Christ. So I want you to grab your listening guide so you can take some notes. We also gave you a really hip, happening, cool sticker at all campuses when you came in. I put mine on the back of my computer. You can put it wherever you want to remind you to be a follower of Christ. We're going to look today at a comparison study. I love doing things like this. It's a biography of looking at something side by side. If you were to have a big Super Bowl or a World Series or the Final Four or a good Rockets game or a good Astros game, whatever it is, but what happened is a lot of times in the newspaper, they'll compare the teams right next to each other. Be like, okay, point guard versus point guard. Which one's got the best one? Outfielder versus outfielder. Hitter versus hitter. Quarterback versus quarterback. Lineman versus lineman. All of these things would be here on comparisons. And you would look, and it would give grades a lot of times. It would give like, this is a B+, this is a C-, this is an A, this is a C, whatever it is. They would give grades, and you would look, and then they'd say, here's the one that's really going to be the one that did the right thing. We're going to lay down a comparison study of Mary of Bethany and of Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas is going to get all Fs, okay, just so you know. I want to spoil it for you. Mary Bethany is going to get all A's. So ladies, if you've been waiting, hey, they need to talk about how great women are. This is your message, okay? This is a bad dude and awesome lady. So this is the one to be able to go for. But we're going to look at this because we want to see the three decisions that are made by these two people. And then have two applications so that we can get our hearts ready in the right direction moving towards Easter. So look at Matthew 26, beginning in verse 6. We're going to read through verse 15, okay? Here we go, Matthew 26, verse 6 through 15. While Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman approached him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. First of all, isn't it cool that Jesus is going to a leper's house? She poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This might have been sold for a great deal and money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a noble thing for me. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. By pouring this perfume on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Remember that. We're going to get to that in a little while. Verse 13, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then, verse 14, one of the 12, a man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me? Underline that in your Bible. What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they weighed out 30 pieces of silver. And then it says he looked for a proper time that he could betray Jesus. So here's what we have. The first decision that we have, it's found in verse 14, is where we see that Judas makes the wrong decision. Here's what he says in verse 14. Then one of the 12, a man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know at this point in the Gospels that Jesus and the chief priests have been at odds a long time. The religious leaders of the day throughout the scriptures, they're not standing up and being like, hey, Jesus is here. The Messiah is here. Come on in, man. Tell us what's going on. They're scheming. They're trying to catch him. They're trying to ask him difficult questions so that they can get him in trouble. They're upset with him. They're angry with him. And Jesus keeps stumping him. Don't you know, when you ask Jesus a question and you're trying to stump him, he's going to stump you right back. You're not going to win that. And so here they are, the chief priests and the religious leaders are actually at odds. And this verse 14 says, and then Judas went to the chief priests. He knew very well what was going on. He understood. He had been a part of seeing the chief priests and the religious leaders of the day come against him. Here's what happened. Decision number one, where are we going to go and where are we going to spend our lives? Judas went where he shouldn't go. Judas went where he shouldn't go. He knew that the chief priests were going against Jesus. He knew that they weren't for him. And he turned deliberately and went to the chief priests and went someplace where he shouldn't go. Students, this is where you need to listen up to your parents when you say, hey, we're all going to go this, that, and the other and do this. And they go, no, I don't think you're going to do that. That's when they say nothing good happens after 11 o'clock. They're right, okay? Because we've been there before and we understand that where you go, you might not be the one doing what you're doing, but you may get in trouble with the crew that's doing it. So you got to be careful where you go. And so here Judas heads off to the chief priest. Let me show you in 2 Samuel 11:1. Easy verse to remember. 2 Samuel, that's two ones right there together. 11, another two ones, and then a one. Let me show you this with David. This is an Old Testament example. In the spring, when the kings march out to war. So what are the kings supposed to do? They're supposed to go to war. David sent Joab with his officers and all of Israel. David sends them out. They destroy the Ammonites and besiege Rahab. But David remained in Jerusalem. So the kings are supposed to go out to war, and David stays in Jerusalem. Do you know what happens in the rest part of this passage? One word, Bathsheba. That's what comes after this. David should be at war. Instead, he's standing on the porch. He's looking down, and Bathsheba is bathing on the rooftop. Bathsheba should have a shower curtain. Okay, that's another place. She's in the wrong place as well, okay, ladies? So let's, you know, make sure you're not bathing on a rooftop. Not that I think that you are. David, though, is in the wrong place. And what does that lead to? It leads to murder. It leads to death. It leads to this whole story of David and Bathsheba that we have. So you get yourself in the wrong place and you can end up doing the wrong thing. It's important with what you're circled around. It's important when you make a decision. Where are you in making that decision? When you're making decisions, are you in the right place emotionally? Are you in the right place mentally? Are you in the right place physically? Are you in the right place spiritually? Because see, what we'll find in these decisions, I'm going to give you decisions that are principle decisions. They're foundation decisions. And if you and I will make decisions that are right and wrong, we won't have to worry about decisions that are right and left. If we'll understand that God is who he is, it doesn't matter if it's this way or it's that way. It's from the foundation. So the first decision, Judas makes the wrong decision. He chooses the wrong place to be. He chooses the wrong place to be. Mary of Bethany, though, is exactly where she should be. Where is she? She's exactly where she should be. She is there with Jesus Christ. She's at his feet. She's pouring out perfume on his head. She's anointing him for burial, as we'll see. So she's exactly where she should be. If God doesn't want to be in, let me put it like this. If you sense that God is calling you away from a place, you want to be where God is. His presence is everywhere. We know that. But his intimacy sometimes can be lost when we journey into places we shouldn't be. So if you're lonely and you can't sleep at night and you're struggling with lust, your computer is not where you need to be at midnight. If you're dealing with alcohol and you get into a bad situation, you don't need to go to a bar, right? Just obvious situations here. to be able to say, let me pull back from that. If you're making, you want to make good, godly decisions and everybody around you is making bad, not godly decisions, that's not the right place for you. We went to the beach over spring break, and we had a great time. And so we were down in Galveston, and so my daughter wanted to go to a place where we could drive on the beach. So we journeyed out of the place where we were and went to where you could drive on the beach. So we got down there. It was basically all the spring breakers, right, that came. So we arrive on this beach. A truck's doing donuts in the beach. A guy's got like, I mean, it's like party zone like crazy. I mean, I feel like I stepped into some kind of movie. And so here we are. We're driving down the beach. We're just a sweet little family driving down the beach listening to KSBJ, right? Cruising along. And then there's this big group of people over there, and they're like, yeah, yeah. And Kelly, because she's sweet and innocent, and I'm not, she goes, let's go over there and see what's going on over there. And I'm like, let's not go over there and see what's going on over there. So we just kind of cruised through, did a little drive on the beach, and came home. So the rest of the week, I would call that beach Trouble Beach, is what I called it. We're not going to Trouble Beach. What's a Trouble Beach? Trouble Beach is where you go to get in trouble. So here's all this folks, and maybe they're great folks, and I just, you know, maybe it was an A&W that I saw on that 15-year-old's hand. I'm not sure. But to be able to see all this craziness that was happening, I'm like, don't go there. Don't go there. I don't want to be in the Chronicle, pastor of Houston. But I was witnessing. I was witnessing. I'd just stay away from Trouble Beach, right? There's no reason to go over there. Friday night friends, students, as we talk about all the time, those are important choices. You can eat lunch with anybody you want on Wednesday afternoon, but choose your Friday night friends carefully. So Mary of Bethany, she was exactly where she should be. Judas was where he shouldn't have been. And so I want you to think about this, though, with Judas. How many opportunities did he have to turn around? He said, I'm going to go do this, and then he started walking to the chief priest. Every step, he had an opportunity to turn around. Have you ever been headed towards sin and you know with every step, I need to quit doing this. I need to turn around. I need to hit the off button. I need to get out of this situation. I need to do something different. Then he goes into the chief priest's office and he talks to the chief priest's secretary, if he had one, and says, I'd like to see the chief priest. They said, well, would you sit here for a minute, sir? Read our magazines that we have here about different things that are going on in Jerusalem, and then wait, and he's got time to wait. Then he makes a deal with the chief priest. He had plenty of time to turn around. And so I just scream out to you, if you're going the wrong direction, turn around. Stop. Right there. Turn around. This is a word of God for you. Stop and turn around. It's called repentance. And go a different direction and be where Mary of Bethany was, at the feet of Jesus, giving to Jesus. The first decision that I ask you is this: where are you? Where am I? Are we in the right place to make the right decisions? If we get in the right place spiritually, emotionally, physically, then you know what will happen? We'll begin to make the right and left decisions. We'll take care of themselves. Decision number two that we have to ask. One is, are we going in the right direction? Are we where we should be? Decision number two is found in verse 15 and verse 16. Let's look at that. It says this, and he said, what are you willing to give me? Look at what Judas asks. What are you willing to give me? If I hand him over to you. So they weighed out 30 pieces of silver. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Weighed out 30 pieces of silver for him. Then the next verse, he looks for an opportunity that he would betray him. So Judas, now the next decision is this. What are we going to trade for? What's going to be our life and what's it going to be about? Judas makes a bad trade. Judas makes a bad trade. You know, all of life is about trades. Right, when you get married, you trade singlehood for marriage. When you have children, you trade some freedoms that you would have in a married couple without kids for being able to be a parent. When you decide you're going to make good grades, you trade time for studying more. If you decide you're going to excel at a sport, you trade time for practice so that you can grow in that sport. Everything in life is about a good trade. So the question is, are we making good trades or are we making bad trades? What are we doing with that? My words towards somebody, is that a good trade? Am I encouraging them? Or is it a bad trade and I'm discouraging them? What's going on with that? Judas made a very bad trade. What did he trade? He traded the Savior of the world for 30 pieces of silver. And where did 30 pieces of silver come? This is actually a prophecy. In Exodus 21, verse 32, you might want to write that verse down. If a male or female slave is killed, here's what it says. The person who, if they're gored by an ox, let's get even more graphic, Old Testament. The person who owned the ox must give 30 shekels of silver to the slave's master. So what does this mean? This means that if what you did had the responsibility of killing a slave, you owed that slave master 30 shekels of silver. Therefore, the price of a slave was what? 30 shekels of silver. How much could you buy a slave for? 30 shekels of silver. What did Judas do? He traded 30 shekels of silver and he gave up Jesus. Jesus, the Savior of the world, was bought, if you will, for a slave's price. Why? Watch this. Watch the gospel come alive. So that you and I who are slaves of sin can be bought by Jesus. Do you see it? So 30 shekels of silver. What a terrible trade. What a terrible trade. I mean, can you imagine? Even at the end of Judas's time, he throws the silver back in and he gives it. He says, you keep it. Why? Because he knows what a horrendous trade it makes. Let me just tell us as a point of application. Disobedience to God, unrighteousness before the Lord is always a bad trade. Always a bad trade. Oh, but they like me. Bad trade. God loves you. Doesn't matter who likes you. Always a bad trade when we trade walking with God and journeying with him for unrighteousness and sin. It's always a bad trade. And at the same time, obedience is always a good trade. What was Judas's theme? I circled it for you. Judas asked, what will you give me? Do you see it? That's the essence of a heart of a bad trade. What will you give me? But Mary of Bethany makes a great trade. What does she trade? She's not asking, what will you give me? Mary of Bethany is asking, what can I give you? Lord, I want to give you something. So she takes, just like this, she takes this perfume, this spikenard, and she pours it out over Jesus' head. And she says, I want to take this expensive perfume and I want to give it to you. What does the Bible say? Surely it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So let me ask us, where is our heart? Decision place of our heart, our foundational place. Is our heart a question of what will you give me? Or is our heart a question of what can I give you? You see the difference? Big difference between those two things. Judas is asking, what are you going to give me? He's consumer mindset. He wants stuff. I got to let me know. Is it going to be enough? He's going to make the trade. It's going to be a bad trade. She's going to say, what can I give you? And she's going to pour out perfume. And so if we make the decision to have good trades, it's when we make the decision to be givers, not getters. What does she get out of this? Here's what she gets. Look at verse 13. She gets this. I assure you, whenever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told in memory of her. So whenever the gospel, what this lady did, whenever the gospel is preached, this story is going to be told in memory of her. Absolutely incredible. For all of eternity, for all at least life on earth, she's going to be connected with the gospel. What a great trait. A little thing of perfume, and she makes a difference for all of eternity. That's incredible. Her name lives on. We're talking about her today. We're also talking about Judas, though, but how are we talking about him and how are we talking about her? Do you ever go to school with anybody named Judas? Moms, any of you say, you know, it's either Jeremy or Judas. No. Nobody gets named Judas. Why? Because what he did. But how many Marys do you know? I mean, tons of Marys. There's so many Marys in the Bible, we get confused over which Mary. I mean, even like the other Mary went to the tomb. You finally just get called the other Mary, okay? There's so many Marys. It's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. Churches, Catholic churches in particular, are named after Marys. And so we've got all this stuff happening. So her trade is incredible, absolutely incredible. But for 30 pieces of silver, he makes a trade. Now, let me tell you something in particular. When you make a bad trade, can I just tell you 30 pieces of silver will never satisfy you? It'll never satisfy. Sin never satisfies. It's never enough. They asked Andrew Carnegie, how much money does it take to make a man happy? He answered, a dollar more. A dollar more. But Mary of Bethany, sweet, sweet woman of God, A plus in worship right there at his feet, and she pours out this, poured on his head, and she says, I want to make a great trade. I want to make a great trade. Now, It says in the next verse after that, it says, and then Judas looked for an opportunity to betray Jesus Christ. So he looks for this opportunity to betray. Here's what happened. We're never outside of the forgiveness of God. We can always come to the forgiveness of God. But there is a place, a point of no return in some sin, where you're going to end up in a place and it's like, okay, the conveyor belt has moved on. And God said, okay, you do your thing. You do your thing. He's given them over to their sin. And so in that, can we turn and get off and repent and come to Jesus? By all means. But there's things that we can do that we can get on that conveyor belt. You get on the escalator. And what happens when you get on the escalator? You either start going down or you start going up. And so in this place, then Judas, when he makes that financial deal, something clicks in his mind. And he begins to look for an opportunity to be able to betray Christ. So where are we? Number two, do we have a heart that's a what are you going to give me? Or do we have a heart that's what can I give you? We want to be a church that is a church that is a giving church. And we want to be a people that's a giving people. Now let's look at decision three. Decision three is found in verse 47. So skip a whole lot of verses, okay? And we're going to get to verse 47. What happens is Jesus' prayer in the garden. Peter's denial is predicted. Jesus is praying in the garden. Now we're going to get Judas walking into the garden. Now look at verse 47, key verse. While he was, who's that? That's Jesus, we know. He was still speaking. Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. And a large mob with swords and clubs was with him, and from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Jesus was still speaking. Judas's sin and betrayal interrupts God's work. Sin interrupts God's work. So Jesus is speaking. Now, what do we know about Jesus? We know when Jesus says something, it comes out in a red font. That's what we know. It's so important. When Jesus declares something, it's amazing. When he says, you should pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, got it. This is how you should act. You should have the Beatitudes. When he says stuff, it's big time. Jesus is still speaking and Judas is interrupting Jesus. Sin interrupts God's work in our life. Sin interrupts God's work in our life. What kind of follower do we want to be? Do we want to be a follower that's like a stop and start, stop and start, stop and start, stop and start? Or do we want to be a follower that says, Lord, I'm walking with you, God. I want you to lead me. I want to journey with you. And I've been in times in my life where I've been stop and start with Jesus, stop and start with Jesus, stop and start with Jesus. Man, I was awesome Wednesday night as a student, but man, Friday night was a different crew for me when I was a student. Instead to say, Lord, I want to walk with you. Sin and betrayal of Judas interrupts the work of God. But by the same token, Mary of Bethany, her worship prepares and furthers God's work. Did you see what it said in verse 12? In verse 12, it talks about why she was pouring this perfume. By pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she has prepared me for burial. So Judas interrupts Jesus speaking. What was Jesus saying at that moment? We don't know, but it is amazing if he's saying it. But Mary of Bethany actually is preparing Jesus for God's work on the cross by anointing him with that perfume. We are a church that prepares for God's work to be done. We're going to, with Broken For You, we're going to prepare Thursday by fasting and say, Lord, we're going to get there really, really hungry. But we're going to be hungry, be praying all day long for something for you to do in our life. We're going to get there hungry. And you know what? We're going to get this little bitty piece of bread. I mean, we're not going to serve Subway sandwiches at the Lord's Supper after we've been fasting. We get this little bitty thing. But we're going to say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father, from the mouth of the Father. And we're going to have that. We're going to say, you know what? I want to be satisfied in my soul more than just in my belly. I want to prepare for Easter. We're doing a follower series connecting Christmas and Easter. I'm telling you about Matthew 26, so you'll be ready for Matthew 27 of the cross, so you'll be ready about Matthew 28 for the resurrection. We are a church that prepares for God's work. Now, we did a lot of that. We do a lot of that all the time, but particularly in Mission 1-8 a few years back, when we raised a lot of money, and we said, we're going to pick out cities in the United States that we're going to help with church planting going on in those cities. We're going to help work that doesn't exist to help get it started so that God's work. We're going to lay out some of our perfume to be in these different places. Well, this last week, I got to go to San Francisco, California. It was an amazing time to be able to go there. So I got a picture of me just to prove to you I was actually there. So there I am with the Golden Gate Bridge. What happened was seven churches came together. It ended up being about 12 or 15 people. Seven churches came together, all the pastors. And so I got with those guys. It was a blessing. Some of them were really good friends to get to hang out and get dinner together and kind of talk shop. So that was a blessing to me. So I got there to San Francisco, and we started meeting with church planters and say, how can we help you? What's going on in the Bay Area? We've sent mission trips to Oakland just on spring break. Some of y'all went to Oakland. Way to go to be able to be ministering in there. Our Siena campus in particular sent a lot of mission trips to Oakland, California, in the Bay Area. And so we sat with these church planters. How can we help? What can we do? When we first started way back, we were hoping, not just us, but many, many churches, we were hoping that in 5 years, we could see 50 church plants in the Bay Area. 5 years. 50 church plants. That's pretty good, isn't it? Or excuse me, in 10 years, I'm getting my, in 10 years, we'd see 50 church plants. What we've seen in 5 years is 70 church plants that have happened in the Bay Area. Is that awesome? Give an applause for that. Yes. It's awesome. Absolutely incredible. But what is that? That's us giving our time, our money, our resources to a church you and I will never attend. Amen. It's called missions is what it's called. Right? It's not just about, well, what are you going to give me? It's what can we give you? How can we pour out our perfume? Some of our students went on Rushmore and they went to New York City. And so they helped with church planting there and helped with some of the churches that are going there. One of those church planters is actually in our worship service today at the Loop campus. So in New York, being able to go out, which is great. If you were to go into Canada, you'd find that this is in the subway in the Quebec area up by Montreal. In the subway, this is a church that we're helping. We paid for that ad. And what it says is Easter is more than chocolate. I think that's what I'm told it says. Okay, so if you speak French, I'm not trying to lie to you, but there is chocolate. We do see that. So Easter is more than chocolate with Jesus there and this lady checking it out. Your church, our church, we paid for that ad for people to go to an Easter service that we're not going to, a language most of us don't speak. Yes, let's applaud that. All campuses, let's clap for that. What is that? That's us being a church and a people that's not saying, what are you going to give me? It's us saying, what can we give you? Jesus, what are you going to do for us? Consumer mindset. Jesus, what can we do for you? Here's my perfume. I pour it out. And I tell you this, I tell you this, I tell you this, I tell you this. The joy of life is found in the answering of that question. Will you live a life continually asking, what are you going to give me? Or are you going to live a life continually asking, what can I give you? To the Lord and to others, because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And those who live a life that gives others, there's a great blessing and there's a great lifting up. And it says even she is talked about forever because of what she gave. Have you ever gone to a funeral and somebody got up and said, hey man, you know what? So-and-so died and his best quality is he always borrowed money from me. That's what I really liked. He was always asking me for something. He'd always come over to my house and borrow something from me and ask me to help him with something else. That's what's so great about that guy. He was always on the take. No. You go to a funeral, what do you hear? Oh, he never did anything but give, or she never did anything. And it's those are the people that we go, wow, let's be like them. So Judas answered that wrong. Mary of Bethany answered that right. So what do we got? And then we got two applications and we're done. First decision, are we in the right place? Are we in the wrong place? Chief priest or at the feet of Jesus? Second decision, are we making good trades in our life? Or are we making bad trades in our life? Third decision, are we interrupting God's work in our life? Or are we preparing for more of God's work in our lives? Every time you spend time with the Lord, you're preparing for God's work, for him to do something in your life and in your heart. Now let me give you two applications. Verse 48, here it is. His betrayer had given them a sign. The one I kiss, he is the one, arrest him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Friend, Jesus asked him, why have you come? Why have you come? Then it goes on and it says, and then Jesus told him, then he came up and he took hold of Jesus and arrested him. At that moment, one of those with Jesus, this is Peter, reached out his hand and drew his sword and struck the ear of the high priest, the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Then Jesus told him, "Put your sword back in its place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword." So here's our application. Respond and remain godly in the good and the bad. Respond and remain godly in the good and the bad. There's decisions that give us control in our life, but you know what happens? Other people make decisions that affect our lives. So Judas made this decision that he brings in all of this mob, kisses them on the cheek, and says, "Rabbi." That is like a slap in the face. He says, "Teacher," is what rabbi means. Kisses him on the cheek. What is that? That's a prophecy of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. "For the wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive and are wrong." So the wounds of a friend are great. The kisses of an enemy are bad. So he kisses him. But Jesus remains, of course he would, godly in the good and the bad. What happens? He says, "Friend, do what you've come to do." Peter pulls out his sword, lops off the servant's ear. Jesus takes the ear in another passage and puts it back on the guy's head. FYI, if the ear goes back on the guy's head, leave the Son of God, the Messiah, alone, right? I mean, this is the one. Catch a clue. But they've been in the wrong place, making the wrong decisions for a long time. They can't even see Jesus anymore for who he really is. But he puts it back, and he actually does a healing, and he does a good miracle in that moment against an enemy. Now, let me quickly say this. People can do a lot of good to you, and people can do a lot of bad to you. And some of you have had some tremendous, tremendous bad done to you. And I want you to know I'm so sorry. Tremendous bad done to you. It could be in your home. It could be at your workplace. It could be at your school. It could be in all different arenas. But I want to encourage you to go to God with those hurts. Go to God with those hurts and allow Jesus to work through you, and you just keep responding with godliness and with goodness through the good and the bad. Respond and remain. Just keep trusting God, even in a really, really bad situation. And in a good situation, when you want to stick your chest out and go, "Look what I did," you just keep trusting the Lord that he's the one doing the good in your life as well. So that's the application of this, to respond in the right way. The disciples run, but let's stand. The victory may be coming in 3 days in the resurrection. This is very, very difficult and very hurtful. But we can offer that and say, "Look, I forgive. And I want to walk in this way in the good or the bad." The second application is in verse 54, 53 and 54, and we'll stop here. "Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will provide me now with more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say that this must happen this way?" Trust in God's sovereignty, power, and provision. That's what Jesus does. He says, "Look, I could call down legions of angels. We could wipe these people out. But I'm going to trust that even in this, that God has a plan and prophecy is being fulfilled." Trust in God's sovereignty. Trust in God's power. Trust in God's provision that he can provide for you. So what do we have as we put this whole thing together, as we wrap up? We've got a character study to lay down Judas, and we lay down Mary of Bethany. Ladies, if you like it this way, she gets all A's and he gets all F's. Now, we're good people as men. Don't throw us under the bus too quickly. But in this journey here, we got Judas making the wrong decisions, and we've got here Mary making the right decisions, Mary of Bethany making the right decisions. Different than Mary, Jesus' mom. So here we have, and we lay it down so we can look at this in the newspaper to say, who's the victor in this game? And say, I want to be in the right place. I want to be in the right place, and I want to be a person that makes good trades in my life. Students, don't make bad trades. Make good trades, adults as well. I want to have God's work, not starting and stopping, starting and stopping. I want to walk with God and let God move me through so that I can truly be a follower of him. And I'm going to apply that when the good and the bad happens. I'm going to try to respond godly. And I'm going to trust, number two, in God's sovereignty, his power, and his provision of what he can do in our lives. And what will happen is you won't be just a follower because you got a sticker. You'll be a follower because you have a leader in Jesus Christ. Will everything be easy? By all means, no. But you'll follow him. you'll follow him. Are you in the right place? Are you giving instead of just trying to get, making good trades? Are you letting God's work be fluid in your life? Or are you just interrupting all the time? Every Friday night's an interruption of God's work in your life. Are you letting God do something great in you? And if that happens, what'll happen is you'll get your heart ready for that cross and that resurrection. And it'll mean more to you this year than it ever did, because it really is more than chocolate. It's about the sweetness of God in our lives. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we want you to come at every campus, talk to somebody, to join the church, to plant your life here. To say, I want to be baptized, to just say, I just need to pray with somebody, or I just need to come to the front, I just need to pray. I'm going through a hard time, I'm going through a good time, I just need somebody to pray with me. If that's you, in whatever way, some of us are going to respond through worship and song, some of us are going to respond in worship and come in the right place and getting the help that we need and trusting Jesus. Father, we come in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Mary of Bethany. We thank you that we can look at her life. We thank you, Lord, that we can look and see who we truly want to be. And we pray for that. We ask for that, Jesus. Do your work in our lives. May we be followers of you, particularly this Holy Week, with our mind on the cross, as we fast to get ready on Thursday to be broken for you. Lord, maybe be people that keep asking, how can we give? How can I give my encouragement? How can I give my wisdom instead of being on the take? And so we pray for that, God. Take just a moment and think in your heart, which one of those decisions, which one of those applications really hits you? And just speak that back to the Lord. Say, Lord, I heard you. I give that to you. Help me with that. Jesus, we come to your blood, the spotless blood of the Lamb. And we ask you, God, that you give us the power and the strength to walk with you. In Jesus' name.